Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of June 18th. I am your co-host and sunburnt Michael Staley. Alongside me is the lovely, talented, and extremely exhausted Melissa Hansen.
I'm not exhausted. I'm just a little yawny. Okay. I'll apologize beforehand.
Okay. Well, what has your entertainment week looked like?
Oh, hang on.
See, I told you were exhausted.
Well, I said the word yawn, so I had to do it.
All right.
It was like documentary the past couple of weeks.
Oh.
Watched tons of, a whole bunch of stuff on like eating and health and things like that. Kind of what's on your plate and food fight. But I actually watched a couple I want to talk about. The Business of Being Born.
I'm not familiar with that.
And these are all available on Netflix. That's where I watch all of them. It's Abby Epstein was the director, but Ricky Lake was very involved in this.
Uh-huh.
And it's about how being born in this country is a business. And how, you know, maternity care and labor and delivery, how it's handled in hospitals. And questioning why so few women have home births and things like that. And just how in hospitals, I mean, our rate of C-sections in this country is crazy.
Hmm.
Absolutely crazy how many women get C-sections compared to the rest of the world. And how it's kind of set up for that. Because, you know, doctors, they're on a schedule and, you know, they need to get to the next one and the next appointment. And it's about the hospital turnover. You know, and how that leads to more C-sections. And, you know, there's a lot in and about just, you know, how mothers are treated and physically how babies are born in hospitals versus like home births. It's really, really interesting. And I don't have any children, have never been pregnant, you know, so I don't know what choices I would actually make about this.
Mm-hmm.
If I were in the position, but it's just, it's really interesting. For anybody having a baby or considering it, or just for women, just to see how we're treated in the medical system.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting. Kind of icky shots.
Oh, I'll bet.
Just a bunch of birth shots, but, you know, that's what it's about.
Huh.
If you have any interest in that, I really recommend that. And another one I really enjoyed, it's called Enlighten Up.
Yeah.
It's a yoga documentary, and it... Kate Churchill, who's the director of it, she does yoga and is involved in it and thinks it's something that can transform your life, but she didn't want to make a movie about herself and her own journey. So she found a guy, a journalist, Nick Rosen is his name, and he did yoga for a year and did all the different types of yoga and talked to all different types of yogis and instructors and people who do it for all different reasons. And her thing of having him do it was to have document his transformation over the year, you know, and to see how he got enlightened. Well, it didn't turn out exactly how she thought it would.
Huh.
So it's interesting, so much information about yoga and the different types, but really interesting for documentary filmmakers who go into a film expecting one thing.
This is true.
And when you're just following, it's something that hasn't happened yet. You're following something for, in this case, a year. You know, things occur that you weren't expecting. And, you know, you expect your ending to be this point.
Absolutely.
And if that point never happens, what do you do with your movie?
Hmm.
So as someone who's interested in filmmaking and interested in yoga, it's such an enlightening movie. And again, it's called Enlighten Up.
I think it's available on Netflix Instant. I think I put it in my
all
queue.
All this is on Netflix Instant. Yeah, that's
okay.
Where I watched it.
Okay.
So those are all I watched. Were really my two kind of favorites. And then I just wanted to mention and definitely recommend to people.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I finally got to the theater. It took me traveling up the East Coast to New Hampshire and Maine to get there. But I went and saw Ridley Scott's Prometheus.
Okay, and
it is, yeah. All right. So I went with two other people. Who one of them was ambivalent about it. The other one did not like it at all.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it, and this is sci-fi kind of in its, at least at its core, it's in its pure form. So we're talking like Ray Bradbury, Arthur C. Clarke, Isaac Asimov, things that get you to really think about stuff. As opposed to the Michael Bay school of let's blow shit up and, you know, make aliens look really weird. It's got a really healthy reverence to Stanley Kubrick's 2001: A Space Oddity. A Space Oddity. No, that's David Bowie's Space Odyssey. In that the film kind of deals with the origins of life on Earth, and when you go out and seek answers to those questions, just how disturbing those answers might actually be.
Okay.
Idris Elba is fantastic. Naomi Rapace is fantastic. Charlize Theron kind of plays Charlize Theron. It's not a great role for her. It's a great supporting cast. You know, there's no doubt that this is a prequel to Alien. The end of the movie actually spells that out for you without any hesitation. But it's a Damon Lindelof.
It's old for like 2 years. It's not a prequel.
I know. I think they were hoping that this reveal would be a big punch in the stomach, and it got out. And
well, I know, but it didn't even get out. Like, I'm not a big fan of all this.
Yeah.
I'm not a target audience for this. Yeah. And even I'm like, yeah, isn't it going to be a prequel? Like, this wasn't a shocker.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. But then again, this is a Damon Lindelof script, right? And he was the co-showrunner on Lost. So there's a bunch of disconnects in there that are going to drive people up a wall.
Okay.
There's all the questions are not answered. And some people aren't going to make the leaps of faith that it kind of spells out for you. For whatever reason, for me, it all just clicked. It all kind of made sense. And my interpretation of it, and a lot of it is interpretation, kind of all made sense to me. So when we were discussing
this, is a summer blockbuster popcorn movie.
In a way it is, because there's elements of that. You know, there's kind of great battles and things like that.
Yeah, but you're saying you got to think.
But there is a lot of thinking going on.
So this is not Transformers.
No, not by any stretch. No. So I think it's worth seeing. It's more of a, it's not your classic Ridley Scott film, but I think there's a lot there that people are going to get out of it if they're willing to go down this road.
Okay.
So.
And I have to, for people who hated it.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, go, if you have Hulu, or I think it's online too, The Morning After.
What's that?
It's Hulu's original show. It's like a 10-minute, and they talk about what happened kind of in entertainment the day before. It's really kind of funny usually, but they did, when Prometheus opened, they did a voiceover of clips of it that was brilliantly funny.
Nice.
It was really hysterical. And it was all like, Naomi Rapace's character being like, well, I'm the pretty girl. I need to survive. And like, you all must be the ones dying. And it's her like saying this to all the other characters and scenes. It's really cute and funny.
Well, and Patrick and JB did an hour-long show for F This Movie all about Prometheus, which I still have to go back and listen to.
Yeah, not that you've seen it. Yeah.
No, but it's out there for everybody to...
Yeah, and you can find that on dvdbird.com/podcast.
Correct. Yep. All right, so if you're going to the box office... Well, let's talk about what's happening at the box office the past couple weeks, or at least this past week, because we had a week off.
Yeah, so this week, you know what? Can I just say, I'm really proud of all of you. I'm so proud. That's My Boy did not come in first or even top three. So, you know, pats on the back to all you that didn't see it. Thank you.
Oh, my God. One of the quotes I heard was, well, it's not Adam Sandler's worst film. I'm like, that's the ringing endorsement you're going to give?
Oh, my gosh. Mother Jones magazine, which you can look at it online too, reviewed it, and it's like a hysterical review, and it's basically this is the worst movie ever made kind of thing. So anyhow, thank you all. I'm proud of you. But coming in number one this week is Madagascar 3, which I think just Counter Programming did it.
Absolutely.
Big time. That's why that's one. So for the weekend, it was $35.5 million.
All right.
So it did really well, not just number one, but decent numbers. Prometheus, just over $20
million
for this weekend. And then Rock of Ages, $15
million. All right. So everybody was talking about how great this movie was going to be, how great. I saw this trailer, and I'm like, are you kidding me? This thing is going to fall flat on its face.
No, I want to see it just for, like, the music.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know people that have seen the Broadway show multiple times and adore it.
Yeah, Mac saw it, actually.
And my friend Joanne is a huge fan, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, So, yeah, this not what they were hoping for with that.
Well, and it's Adam Shankman, who actually did the Rocky Horror episode of Glee, directed this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a musical theater guy. But I think this was kind of taking that Glee concept too far, because every clip that I saw was just like, oh, you guys, I don't know if it was kind of self-parody in a way.
What's that whole time period, that 80s, and music was just freaking crazy.
Yeah. But I don't need to see Catherine Zeta-Jones as like a prosecutor or whatever she is, a woman who's kind of protesting all this music and breaking into song and dance herself. It just seems like such a disconnect for me.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, I say props to Tom Cruise for doing the movie, to be honest.
I guess.
To play, betting he had tons of fun.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Playing the character. There's some shots of him. I'm like, holy crap, that's Tom Cruise. Woo, baby.
But if you're making $15 million kind of in your opening weekend, it's not too exciting.
No, yeah, so that did not. I mean, it's number three, but $15 million is not so well for that.
Yeah.
And then Snow White and the Huntsman's hanging in there, almost $14 million, mm-hmm. with $123 million total.
Wow.
So it's doing fairly well. And then That's My Boy is in fifth with $13
million. All right. Well, and the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel is still plugging away. It pulled in another $2 million this weekend.
Yeah, over $35 million total.
It's crazy. And well over $100 million worldwide.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got three very different films opening this coming weekend.
Yes.
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yes.
Which sounds like I did not read the book. Have you?
No.
Are you familiar with it? Okay.
No, I have not, but I I think it looks kind of excellent.
It does, and one of the guys we saw the movie with, Prometheus with the other night, has read the book and absolutely loved it, because he said it, the way they wrote it, Seth Graham Smith wrote it, is just seems to drop all of this supernatural stuff right into Lincoln's biography.
Just
nicely, neatly.
It's a kind of crazy idea, but kind of cool.
Yeah, and seen now through the eyes of Tim Burton is producing. But Russian director Timur, I always screw up his last name. It's like Bekmambetov or something to that effect. But he did the Night Watch and Day Watch movies, which were Russian vampire films that kind of spun the genre around.
Yeah, I'm just glad. I'm hoping they're not sparkly. That's all I want from that. You know, like a different take on this.
Yeah.
So, anyhow.
It sounds fascinating.
I don't think I'm the target audience, but I'm totally intrigued.
Yeah. More counter-programming. Pixar's annual offering is Disney's first Scottish princess.
Yeah, a ginger. We got a ginger.
That's right. Right. Although Ariel was kind of a ginger, too.
That's
right?
That's true, too.
Yeah.
So. Brave.
Right. Correct.
Scottish story about a young princess.
Mm-hmm. Who kind of has to come of age on her own and show that she's talented and courageous enough to kind of break this family curse that's been put upon them.
Right, and not get just some boy to do it for her.
Exactly.
She's the strong, tough, you know, good with a bow and arrow.
Female empowerment.
Yeah, and the voice cast on this, it's Kelly MacDonald stars in it. And she's just so, so lovely.
Yeah.
But Billy Connolly, so fun.
Yeah.
Emma Thompson, Julie Waters, Robbie Coltrane, Craig Ferguson. It's, great, great voice cast.
Now, the funny thing is, and people will correct me if I'm wrong, if I remember correctly, Reese Witherspoon was originally cast.
Oh.
Then dropped out.
Yeah, well, they went with British.
Yes.
Which I think is very good. But then John Ratzenberger's in it.
Oh, of course. Well, it's a Pixar film.
It's Pixar, so he has to be.
You have to give him something, some little.
But other than that, it's highly British.
Yes.
Yeah, not just Scottish, but, you know, at least British.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see how that plays with audiences.
Yeah. It looks a little bit, you know, darker, even though I guess, never mind, that was a stupid thing. They're all witches and stepmothers and stuff, and these kind of stories. I don't know what I meant by that. Never mind.
And then the other one is a really bizarre romantic comedy called Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
Yes.
So it's Steve Carell and Keira Knightley who star in this, I guess you'd call it kind of the world's first apocalyptic rom-com. right? Because they're waiting for this asteroid or meteor to kind of crash and destroy the Earth.
Yes.
So everyone's kind of just embracing their own base human instincts to kind of live out the final days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting take on it.
So we will see how well all of these do next week. But yeah, three very different offerings if you want to go to the movies this weekend.
Yep.
All right. If you're going to stay home and you want something to do to keep the kids busy now that they're out of school, we can go over and look and see what's available on DVD and Blu-ray. If you go over to DVDverdict.com and click on the upcoming DVD releases tab and the cover art gallery for June 19th.
Okay. Well, should we just start with the big one?
Sure.
Wanderlust. It's probably the biggest one. And you know what? I was like, oh, okay, I'll go see it. It's not what I thought it was.
No.
It's not what you think it is, but it is funny as hell. it's ridiculous, off the wall, crazy, uneven, but funny as hell.
Yeah. If you have any interest in the humor of David Wayne, who, was very instrumental in the States.
Ken Moran wrote it with him. Yeah. It's all a bunch of the State.
Yeah.
People, MTV sketch comedy show.
Yeah.
But it's, really David Wayne's, and then Ken Marino wrote it with him.
Right.
And has a smaller role in it. But it stars Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Who, props Jennifer Aniston for keeping up.
Oh, yeah, that's not a group that's easy to do. Like Carrie Kenny Silver,
Catherine Hahn. And
Malin Ackerman, yeah.
It's, yeah, but just like, fun, you know.
Joe Latrullio's giant prosthetic penis that he keeps wagging around.
Yeah, we should mention that. This is most definitely hard R.
Oh, yes.
For many a reason.
Without a doubt.
But it's about New York couple, Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston, who, you know, disillusioned with life and everything falls apart. And they have to go stay with his, like, asshole brother
in
Atlanta. But on the way, their car breaks down, they run into this commune kind of place run by whacked out Alan Alda.
Yes, yes.
And just crazy, crazy characters. And then they kind of realize, well, maybe that's the place for us. You know, not fancy schmancy New York. It's all, kind of hippy dippy, middle of nowhere, south. And so it's about the relationship, but it's about these crazy characters. And then we have to mention Justin Theroux's in it.
Yes.
And steals it, I think, which is hard to do from the rest of those guys.
Oh, he commits. He commits 100% to this role.
Holy crap. But, yeah, and that's where him and Jen hooked up.
Okay.
Was on the set of this. But anyhow, yeah, I don't know why I'm reviewing the whole thing. But that's all we did this week.
And there's even a great cameo from Linda Lavin. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay.
Let's see, what else? We've got the latest Hollywood family animal story, which always seems to find its way into the mix. This one stars John Krasinski and Drew Barrymore. It's called Big Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a family who helps rescue a group of gray whales. Yeah.
Based on a true story.
Of course. Everything's based on a true story these days.
Yep.
Like Dick Wolf, ripped from the headlines.
Right. Well, speaking of animal stuff, the first season of Wilfred.
Oh, you know, I have never seen that.
I haven't seen it.
And they filmed it right down by me on Venice Beach. Well, I mean, Elijah Wood lived in my neighborhood, so.
Yeah, name dropper.
Yep. But yeah, they did a lot of shooting around there, and it looks incredibly quirky, but really funny.
Yeah. So, and then Lisa Kudrow's Web Therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The first season of that is out on DVD, so if you didn't catch it, and you're a fan of hers.
Yeah.
You can give that. And then Louis.
Oh, yeah, Louis C.K.
Yeah, that's out. And then look at this.
What?
There's this DVD with, like, a castle in the background and this pretty redhead in a green dress. Kiara the Brave.
Yeah.
The Brave's in big letters and Kiara the is in very little.
Yeah, that one actually drew some heated interest in the media this past week because I think they're overstepping their bounds. That company's been doing this kind of stuff for a long time.
Say so.
Yeah, and this one came a little too blatant. So
yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah. If you're into kind of offbeat stuff from the guys who did Old School mm-hmm. and other films of that ilk, you've got Project X, which mm-hmm. is about these high school kids who throw the biggest party. It gets completely out of control, brings in the National Guard and all this kind of uh-huh. stuff.
All
and,
right.
And how about Foster. This?
Yes.
Okay. You have a dystopian future where the game Dance Dance Revolution has become a competitive war game.
That's excellent.
It's called the FP.
That is quite excellent.
Yes.
I mean, completely ridiculous.
Yes.
But still quite excellent. So, and here's one that kind of like disappeared quick. Jeff, Who Lives at Home.
Oh, yeah. It got, I wonder, it was more like an art house release.
Yeah, I think it was. It's Jason Segel.
Right.
From How I Met Your Mother and The Muppets.
And Ed Helms from The Office.
Ed Helms from The Office. And Judy Greer, who I adore. But anyhow, it's like Jason Segel, who's like kind of a slacker boy, tries to find out like where he's supposed to be in life.
Yeah.
And then Ed Helms plays his brother, and Judy Greer plays his wife. And Susan Sarandon plays their mother.
Yes.
So, I mean,
it's kind of hard to go wrong with that.
Yeah, it seems, but it's, yeah. Like, a bunch of people have not heard of that at all. So, something to check out if you missed it before. Check it out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of vintage, I'm dating myself, kind of 80s, 90s films coming to Blu-ray this week. So you've got two from Christian Bale from when he was a kid. One was Empire of the Sun,
mm-hmm.
which was Steven Spielberg's World War II movie.
Yeah.
And Newsies, which
yes.
was the Disney musical that's now on Broadway.
Right, and that's like, what is that, like 20-year anniversary of that or
something like
crazy.
That, 25 maybe?
Yes.
Clint Eastwood's Pale Rider, Michael Mann's Heat, which may be the best film he ever made, Blade 1 and 2, and then you've got Sister Act 1 and 2. So the first Sister Act was okay. I didn't need a second movie out of that one.
Yeah, I agree. I just want to mention, for us old Nick fans, Hey Dude, Season 3.
That's right.
Is out with Christine Taylor.
Oh, my God. All right. So, as always, DVD Verdict benefits from you guys spending some time on these pages. So if you want to purchase some stuff from Amazon, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah.
But if you're going what's that?
Oh, and really quickly, you guys, since I mentioned Hey Dude,
yeah.
that's going to be our contest this week.
Oh, wow.
So DVDverdict.com/contest. And there'll be five winners of the DVD.
Nice.
So,
Nick fan, there you go.
Something
just for you.
We'll win it.
All right. Well, as always, streaming media has become a big thing. So let's go and see what's coming out on Netflix this week as we approach the end of the month. There's actually a surprising amount of interesting things here. Woody Allen, a documentary. So if you are as big a Woody Allen fan as I am, or
I'm a big Woody fan.
Yeah. There's that. Two films from Cary Grant at very different points in his career. His Girl Friday, which is 1940, Rosalind Russell, which is a brilliant film. Rapid-paced dialogue, just great characterizations. I can't say anything bad about that film at all. And then 1963's Charade, in which he plays opposite Audrey Hepburn.
That is one of my favorite. And that one's, not typical Cary Grant.
Not at all.
Love story. I mean, there's some of that in there, but it's a thriller.
Yeah.
It's a Hitchcockian. It's not a Hitchcock
True.
Film. But, yeah, it's one of my favorites from that time period.
Yeah. We've also got William Hurt and Marlee Matlin in Children of a Lesser God.
Oh, yeah.
Guillermo del Toro's Hellboy, the original.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvester Stallone's arm wrestling epic, Over the Top.
Oh, boy.
And then two fairly regarded television series, Adrian Paul's Highlander, mm-hmm. which was on for God only knows how many seasons in that same era as Hercules and Xena and, you know, those types of things. And then Jada Pinkett's series for TNT, which was Hawthorne RN.
Mm-hmm.
Which is no more, but you can watch it on Netflix.
Okay.
Over at Hulu, kind of slim pickings this week. Steve McQueen's 1958 horror movie, which horror in 1958 is far different from horror in 2012.
Oh, yeah.
The Blob is out. on how anybody was afraid of this slow-moving thing that was trying to eat people. I have no idea. We were talking about Prometheus, so Andrei Tartakovsky's esoteric sci-fi classic Solaris from 1972, which I believe that George Clooney remade.
Yes.
Later on.
Yeah, it was a few years ago, yeah. But yeah, he started that remake.
But if you like, again, if you like kind of that pure sci-fi, this is one that you really need to check out. And then anime fans, Ghost in the Shell 2.0. And then, over at Amazon Instant, it's catching up with me. You get all the latest DVD and Blu-ray releases, but a handful of sci-fi TV series, sci-fi supernatural. You got Doctor Who Series 6, Stargate SG-1, Stargate Atlantis, Stargate Universe. If you can't get enough of Stargate, it's all right there. And then Dead Like Me, which was Mandy Patinkin, right?
Yes, it's a really good show. It's kind of quirky. It's about... I watched this on DVD, not when it was on, but it's a young woman, and she gets hit in the head with a toilet from outer space, a toilet seat, but she dies. But she becomes a Grim Reaper. There's not one Grim Reaper. There's tons of them, and they're all around us.
Huh.
And they have to go and kind of, like, touch you and send you to the other side. And so they get, like... It's a group of quirky friends, basically, but they're Grim Reapers, and they get assignments from Mandy Patinkin, who's, like, their boss.
Oh.
And they have to get a place and time, and they have to, like, help whoever dies, like, pass over.
Hmm.
But it's as much just, yeah, kind of quirky group of friends.
Yeah, it seemed like a cult series that kind of went away for a while, and then they brought it back.
Yeah, and it's her dealing with, like, because she can see her family, but she looks different. Like, they don't know it's her. And it's a really excellent show.
Hmm. Well, there you go. Head over to Amazon Instant and check that out. And then in terms of movies, again, vintage stuff. Man of La Mancha, Midnight Cowboy with John Voight, Last Tango in Paris with Marlon Brando, and then Rodney Dangerfield's Back to School.
Oh, classic.
It is classic. All right, I've talked enough. I'm throwing it over to you.
Okay. Not too much new on TV this week. There are tons of reality shows and game shows and all that started the past couple weeks. But there is one big epic thing Wednesday and Thursday night. It's that big. It needs two nights.
What?
On NBC. Justin Bieber all around the world.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. Right. So all of your tweens will be glued to the TV screen.
Two nights, really?
Wednesday and Thursday. It's not full. It's like an hour each night. Okay. But it's, yeah, special about Justin Bieber and concert and stuff because he's got a new album coming out. And it's just so exciting.
All right. Event television.
Yeah, so that's the event television this week. You can't miss that. Bunch of stuff coming to music. Mm-hmm. Well, I said Justin Bieber's new album, Believe, is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But Kenny Chesney.
Ah.
One of my favorites. Welcome to the Fishbowl. His new album, and he's got his duet with Tim McGraw because they are on tour this summer.
Oh.
So if you can't catch him, you can at least listen to him.
Nice.
With that. Smashing Pumpkins, new one. Yep. Oceana. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who Smashing Pumpkins is nowadays.
Right, it's got to be Billy, right?
Morgan. Yeah, but I don't even know who else is around. So somebody who cares can tell me.
Yeah.
But then we have, okay, ready? Deep breath. The idler wheel is wiser than the driver of the screw, and whipping cords will serve you more than ropes will ever do. It's Fiona Apple's new album.
Oh, what?
And that's the frickin' title.
Oh, crap.
Because she's Fiona Apple. And, you know, God forbid we just, like, number it or something. Anyhow, wow. A couple soundtracks. We talked about Brave.
Yes.
That soundtrack is out. Patrick Doyle is the composer on that.
Ah, all right.
And then Game of Thrones Season 2 soundtrack is out on CD this week, too. For fans of that.
Nice.
Books this week, I'm slightly excited. The Long Earth, which is Terry Pratchett.
Oh.
Who wrote one of my favorite books, Good Omens, with my favorite authors, Neil Gaiman. But this time he's writing with Stephen Baxter. Okay, and then Mia March, who wrote the Jane Austen Book Club.
Yes.
Fairly famous book. Now has a new one called The Meryl Streep Movie Club. So I think that's kind of excellent.
It is very excellent.
And then one of my favorite writers when I was probably junior high-ish into high school, Lois Duncan. She wrote kind of creepy, thrillery stories. But usually had girls as their lead characters. So they're re-releasing a bunch of her books, like A Gift of Magic and The Third Eye. So a bunch of those on paperbacks.
Cool.
So if you enjoyed them, kind of the first go round, or if you have younger kids, not real young, but maybe junior high-ish, you can pick those up.
Nice.
So, and then Broadway news. The yes. Tonys were a week ago.
Right.
Neil Patrick Harris hosted, and I'm just going to quick go through some of the big winners. Clybourne Park, which I had mentioned before, written by Bruce Norris, who's one of my favorite playwrights, won for Best Play.
Very nice.
And musical was Once, which we've talked about too,
mm-hmm.
based on the movie. So that was, original score was Newsies, which is based on the old movie we talked about. There's a lot of mission going on here. Revival of a play was Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman. And revival of a musical was the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess.
Mm-hmm.
And Audra McDonald won.
And gave a very heartfelt speech, too.
Really heartfelt. And the other speech I so enjoyed was Judith Light.
Yes.
For featured role in a play.
I think that was the first award of the night.
Yeah, and she gave a really, you know, sweet, heartfelt acceptance speech, too. And it was really great to see her doing that.
What did you think of the show in general?
I liked it overall. I know other people, I think you thought it was kind of boring. I really liked it. Neil Patrick Harris is genius.
It took him a while to warm up. I wasn't so sold on the opening, but he really got into it later in the show.
So the very beginning of the show was a musical number from Book of Mormon.
Oh, I missed it.
Was last year's big winner. Well, you need to go check that out because it was like kind of a big opening number from that.
Oh, no, I came in where Amanda Seyfried was doing her little cameo bit.
Yeah, no, I thought those were slightly cute. But anyhow, no, I liked it overall.
All right.
And Neil Patrick Harris was great. And I love, because at the end, I think this is so cool that they do it and so smart of them. He does a song that they have written during the show because he is the winner.
Right.
So for him, like on the fly to be doing a whole musical number, is quite talented there.
They finished really strong.
So, so that's the big Broadway news. Kind of what happened in the past year on Broadway.
There you go.
So, and one more really quick thing. Hugh Jackman won Actors Equity Association Award, kind of just like a special award for all that he's done for Broadway. And it was really, really cute. His wife snuck off to the bathroom, but really went and presented the award to him.
Caught him completely by surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really sweet. And Hugh Jackman is just such a huge supporter of Broadway. And I think has brought it to a bigger audience. So
yeah,
he definitely
deserved
honors for that.
And if you notice, it was very movie star, film star, television star kind of heavy.
It was very much so, but it was good actor heavy.
That's true.
Who cares if you're doing it in movies or on TV or on the stage? If you're a good actor, you're a good actor.
Fair enough. It's just one of those things that there is still a disconnect between the theater community and the television and film.
I can see. And I'm sure some of it was done, you know, for ratings and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, you have Neil Patrick Harris, who's a TV star. Well, guess what? Neil Patrick Harris is also a theater star.
Yeah, he has done Broadway. So, and I think from that perspective, there's a lot of these actors who do 8 shows a week, you know, 50 mm-hmm. weeks, 51, 52 weeks a year.
That's true.
And as opposed to, you know, sitting around a set for 14 hours and shooting for 1 hour of the.
And also, like, someone like Jim Parsons who goes and does maybe 6 weeks.
Right.
And is a huge draw because he's on TV versus someone who does this is their entire life,
right.
is those 8 shows a week.
Correct.
Week in, week out, you know, for years and years and struggling to get the next role.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so I don't want to knock any individual down, but I also understand the little bit of controversy, too. Yeah.
All right, so if we switch over to entertainment news, some eagle-eye person spotted in the 10th episode of the new season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, HBO. My goodness. Seriously, this is what we're getting our panties in a bunch about, people. All right, go ahead.
George W. Bush's head was on a severed head was on a pike.
Okay. So it wasn't George W. Bush's head. So what they use, because they have all these body parts and they have all kinds of stuff, you know, they use masks.
Yes.
And different prosthetics. And one of the masks that they put and used for a head, they put a big wig on it, whatever, was Bush.
Yeah.
And so everybody's freaking out how it's this big political statement and wah, wah, wah.
But HBO is actually re-editing the episode to take that out.
You know, and like pulling DVDs and stuff like that. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And I agree, not the best choice. Not a choice I would have made. Absolutely. But really, really, this is what we're upset about.
Everybody.
How about actual, like, soldiers dying in Afghanistan?
No, that's too boring. That's too real.
You know, maybe let's worry about that. Or, like, actual people dying. Or, you know, really. Okay, sorry. Off the soapbox, you can continue.
All right. So Paramount has become quite gun shy in the past several weeks. So first they pulled G.I. Joe, the second G.I. Joe film, which was due this August in theaters, because they said, we're going to retrofit it for 3D and we're going to release it in the spring.
Ugh.
Okay, well, that was kind of weird, considering this was one of the more anticipated films of the summer.
Yeah, so what are you going to make your money on this summer?
Yeah. So they just did it again. So this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles reboot that they were going to do.
Oh, but thank God.
I know, but they just completely shelved the thing because apparently the script wasn't working out. So instead of being released in 2013...
Wait, you're telling me that making them aliens and all this kind of stuff wasn't working out? No. Really? They really thought this was going to work and it didn't?
Oh, well.
Oh, gosh, how shocking.
Live and learn. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with Paramount these days, but they better get their crap together soon or they're going to wind up way behind the eight ball. Pixar. So our friends over at Collider.com were on a press junket for Brave. And Steve talked to John Lasseter, and John said he's actually considering doing a Marvel Comics film in the Pixar development lineup.
Uh-huh.
So it would take one of their properties. Of course, they haven't talked about what that would be, but for Pixar to do that type of film, I think would be a huge coup.
Yes.
So that will be interesting to keep an eye on and see what's going on there. Jonah Hill, who has been incredibly busy, skinny or fat, he's been really busy. He's joined the already embarrassingly rich cast of Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained. And this just happened this past week. The movie opens on Christmas Day.
Right. I'm like, they filmed, we've seen the trailer.
So I don't know what Quentin's doing, whether he's going to, this thing's going to be, you know, delivered wet to theaters because he's still working on this now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's Tarantino. He can do whatever he wants.
I guess. Aaron Johnson just confirmed this past week that Kick-Ass 2 begins filming in the fall.
Oh, I know some people that'd be very happy.
I have not seen Kick-Ass 1, so.
Would not appreciate it.
And then the world is coming to an end because Ryan Seacrest is positioning a bid to purchase all of Dick Clark Productions.
Well, he kind of is heir apparent.
I know. But
and, you know, he runs half of Hollywood, so why not?
The money this guy has, I don't think people realize how much he's pulling in.
Yeah, but think about how much this guy works.
Well, that's true.
He works his ass off, you know?
He does.
We'll give him crap. He's earned every bit he has.
Radio, TV, producing.
Right.
Yeah.
He runs and does five different things, like, in a day, regularly.
Yeah. Well, do it while you can. I mean, Nick Cannon was doing the same thing, and he wound up in the hospital, so.
Right. So, yeah. Yeah, do it while you can. Because you never know when it's going to get cold or when you're going to get sick or who knows what happens, so.
Well, and speaking of hospitals, one more note. Our friend Lindsay Lohan is back in the news.
Yes, but she didn't actually go to the hospital. That was a false story.
Well, but this is
after. She was napping, Michael.
So they had to call the ambulance because she was napping.
Yes.
And our old friend Steve Honig who used to be a studio rep for us, is now her publicist. So
bless his sweet little heart.
And he's repping Courtney Love. He's repping Charlie Sheen's ex-wife. I mean, he is.
How much does he hate himself?
I don't know, but he's taken on the hard luck cases of Hollywood.
He have. Wow.
Yeah, but this is after the incident from last week in which she rear-ended a truck on PCH.
Yes.
And then tried to pay off the truck driver so that he wouldn't call.
Supposedly.
Police.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, she was driving, even though she allegedly said her assistant was driving, and allegedly there was a bottle of booze that was allegedly in the stuff, but everything got scooped into her trunk, allegedly. So maybe it was allegedly in the trunk, but police officer said it was allegedly actually in the front of the car. Yeah.
At what point does this stop? I mean, is it going to take her having a near-death experience to...
Well, how many has she already had?
I don't know.
I don't know what it's going to take for her to stop, because obviously she hasn't been there yet. And I would think, you know, freaking jail might do it for me, but...
Yeah, apparently not.
Obviously, I'm not Lindsay Lohan.
All right. Well, that's all I've got. So you can wrap this one up.
All right. Well, Oprah is trying to revive her career, because instead of seriously sitting back on her millions, just like in a pile of gold, like I would be doing if I were her, and having people fan me and feed me grapes, she's still trying to save her darn network. And so it was just on, she interviewed the whole Kardashian clan with K.
Now, that could be interpreted in a bunch of different ways, so be careful.
It couldn't. I didn't think about that, but, you know, whatever fits.
Because Lamar's in that clan.
Yeah, and Kanye's in it now.
That's right.
Oh, my. Okay, anyhow, she interviewed all of them and talked to just the four actual Kardashian kids. With a K. Yeah. The best scene, you can find snippets online if you have any desire to see this, but she asked them if they thought they'd be, you know, this rich and famous if they weren't so good looking.
Yeah.
And Rob proceeded to talk about, like, how not skinny the girls are. Oh. Like, he was kind of saying, oh, I don't know how good looking they are.
Oh, nice.
He's like, well, they're not really that skinny or, like, models.
Oh, man. Yo, you should see them in the morning without makeup.
My sister's fat.
Oh, wow.
Like, national television. Yeah. So, you know what? Totally worth watching just for that moment.
Watch your back when you go to sleep, buddy.
Yep. So. All right. All's well in the world. And, you know, Oprah's talking to the Kardashians and hell is freezing over.
Hey, we've only got till December and the Mayan calendar ends, so enjoy it while it lasts.
So.
All right, and on that bombshell, we will leave you for this week and be back next week with more interesting, fascinating topics of conversation.
Sure. Yeah, I'm involved. Interesting and fascinating. That's what it'll be.
Anyways, until then, Melissa, take it away.
Goodbye, my friend. I know you're gone. You said you're gone, but I can still feel you here. It's not the end.